Good morning, and welcome to this special edition of the Bullseye Podcast titled
Deep Cuts.
This is Josh Shores coming to you live from our multi-million dollar recording studio. Just kidding. I am in my humble little office, all by my lonesome. Anyways, we're going to take a different approach to this week's episode, so please don't be alarmed. As everyone knows, we're in the midst of vacation season, and unlike myself, my colleagues actually take their vacations. Who would have thunk it? So, I thought this would be a good week to share some of the other projects that we've had the privilege to be a part of that you may not be aware of. Several weeks ago, a gentleman by the name of Charles Alexander had reached out to me. Charles was wanting our team to be a part of one of his podcast episodes. And to give you a little backstory on Charles, he is the director of Tennessee Small Business Development Center at Volunteer State Community College. He provides one-on-one consulting sessions and teaches seminars to help entrepreneurs grow their business. After some date crunching, we were finally able to get Peter on a Zoom call with Charles. He was able to share everything from who we are, where we came from, and how we approach doing business with our friends and clients. As always, we're very intentional about being different, and I think anyone who has chatted with us, listened to this podcast, seen our information online, you know that we are different. You know, not just saying it, but truly living our approach day in and day out. And from my point of view, from a marketer's point of view, that's incredibly crucial for us to be able to relate to everyone. So I hope that you enjoy this short conversation between Charles and Peter. If you want to know a fun fact before listening, it's quite possible that Peter is Charles's doppelganger. Or vice versa. I'm not sure which party takes ownership in the doppelganger scenario. Nevertheless, also one last note, this is a Zoom call, so the overall audio quality isn't as polished as normal, but I do hope you can take away something from the information between Charles and Peter, and I hope you enjoy it. So happy listening, everyone, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for joining me, folks. Today I have Peter Raber from AFI Advisors, straight out of East Tennessee. Peter's a good-looking guy with a sharp haircut and a beard. Not only is he the president, he's been working there since he was 11 years old. He has three kids, which I can also appreciate, and he coaches them in all the sports. You need to go to their website, by the way, because they have the coolest history page I've ever seen for a financial advisory firm. Folks, welcome, Peter Raber.
Hello, thank you for having me. We're excited to do this.
Man, so you were telling me a little bit about your website. Tell folks kind of what you guys put into that history page.
So our business, which is Aldebaran Financial Insights, so that's the AFI, comes from the ship my dad served on in the Navy. And my dad founded the business, and we had what most people would consider that kind of plain vanilla financial advisor website.
Right.
And we made a decision about 2 years ago. We brought on some marketing personnel, and we made a decision. We wanted to be different. We wanted to stand out in a couple different ways, and we wanted to be relatable. And so we do that through telling stories. So that history page really is the story of our firm. And so many times you get to a history page on a website, and it's a paragraph.
Right.
And it's, you know, we were founded in such and such. We believe in such and such.
Right.
There's so much more to it, and so we just tried to be as relatable as possible.
I love that, and you're 100% right. I come to so many different financial advisor websites, and they're the copy and paste version of all the others. And when you start talking to the actual advisors, they're interesting. They've got a varied background. They actually love what they do. But if you were to take a look at their website, it's like you're pulling a Kleenex out of the box, and one after the other. And I don't know how anybody would ever tell the difference.
They're all pretty much the same, and Josh, who here in the office handles all the marketing, had not experienced financial advisor marketing before.
Right.
And I think he was shocked at how stagnant and bad. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of that comes from the Securities and Exchange Commission and everybody being, you know, afraid that we're going to do something that's going to get us slapped on the wrist or whatever it is. He couldn't believe that we weren't allowed to do testimonials until here recently. And so, you know, it's one of those things that you just got to show your personality. And I kind of feel like the people who want to work with us are going to like my personality. And if you don't like my personality, that's completely fine too. But it's probably not going to be a good match anyway.
Right.
So why fool everybody?
That's right. Well, speaking of your personality, you were a go-getter early. Give us a little bit about your background and story, or even how you got started at this firm when you were 11.
So it's a family business. And my dad, who was running a bank trust department here locally, and he was in Johnson City, which is right up the road from us, we're in Kingsport, and a larger bank bought them out and said, hey, you can go be a middle-level manager in Memphis. And he was like, no, I'm not doing that. He was a Wall Street guy, a Navy guy, moved, you know, enough times. So he went out on his own when I was 10, 11, and most of the bank trust assets followed him. And so right from day one, we had a good asset base. And, you know, I was like every, you know, kid of a business owner. You know, if it had been a grocery store, I'm sure I would have been stocking shelves. But instead, I was converting handwritten ledgers into, you know, at the time, First Choice and then Works and Excel and all that. So I've done pretty much everything within this business. And it was a family business. My mom was the office manager. Dad owned it. They've both since passed away, and so it's all kind of fallen to me, and we've got a good team here. But it's been one of those things that I've got an older brother who's about 8 years older than me, and he tricked Dad a little bit in saying that, hey, he'd come into the business if he started it. And then as soon as Dad started, he was like, no, I'm not doing that. But I've known from an early age, and my dad was really good about, you know, I was sitting in foundation and bank meetings when I was 15, just at fly on the wall, just listening to these people and how they talk and what's actually important when you get to the boots on the ground type conversations. And so I feel like, you know, I've got my education, I've got my MBA, but my biggest schooling came straight from him, because he was about as good as they come.
Well, man, it's interesting or cool to see that you went straight in and followed in your dad's footsteps. My dad, we grew up in an entrepreneurial household. He started off with the Curtis Mathis franchise. You may be a little too young to remember these giant Curtis Mathis TVs, the console TVs. They were great TVs, and the problem was they never went out, which does not give you repeat business. And I remember when they finally did go out, they would become like the console to the portable TV you would set on top of the console TV. But he flipped that, you know, that thing went from Curtis Mathis to Alexander's Electronics to Alexander's Furniture to, every kind of business known to mankind. And when I was a kid, the one thing I thought, man, is that I don't ever want to be an entrepreneur. And it was only years after being out on my own, kind of got back into the groove of it, of coaching entrepreneurs and starting my own thing. But I sometimes wish I would have done exactly what you did and just go straight into it.
Well, you know, and I knew early on that I was going to, so everything in my schooling and everything, you know, was kind of focused on that, which made it easier. I'm sure I missed out on certain things. I often think that, and I've never worked for anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, so summer jobs, anything, it's always been here. So I'm sure I've missed experiences that other people have had, but at the same time, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I definitely have a different perspective on things than, you know, we'll hire somebody and they're like, what, that our HR did it this way, or I'm like, well, I treat you as a human, so, you know, I don't know how a corporation does it. We do it this way,
right? Yeah,
you know, those type things.
Well, taking a look at how you guys are different and unique, so what separates you from the average financial firm? So you guys, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're in Kingsport. So if I'm in
Tennessee.
Kingsport or anywhere in East Tennessee, and I Google financial advisor near me, CFP near me, what is going to set you guys apart or make you a little different than the average bear?
So I think what we've always tried to do, and it's something that we hope comes through on the website too, is that we treat people where they're at and as humans and as what's important to them. So we don't do any model portfolios. We make it hard on ourselves.
Right.
We don't do anything that we say, you're a class A client, so you get this. You're a class B client, you get this. You know, if you've got $100 invested with us, it's as important to you as if somebody's got $100,000 or $1 million or whatever the number is. And so everything we do is customized. And if our clients want anything, you know, advice-wise on anything, we hope they come to us. I heard the expression, I've stolen it from a few people, you know, we want to be the financial 411 if you're our client. So you call us and we'll give you an extra opinion. Even if it's on a real estate deal or if it's on anything, you know, we want to be that source of information, and we want people to feel comfortable calling us. And so a lot of times, and the example I give to a lot of people is, I hate going to the doctor. And I don't like talking to the doctor because I feel like the doctor is going to judge me for my bad choices or whatever it is. The reality is you're at wherever you're at. So all we're trying to do is make it better. And so if better is coming out to your house and sitting at your kitchen table and having the conversation there, we'll do that. If it's, hey, you know, I can't get logged into the website, you know, can you come out here and set up my computer for me? Yeah, we'll do that too. And so we just try to do everything that we can to kind of give that white glove, and everybody says customer service type thing, but we really try to then, and I feel like it's where our industry is going, is because the robots can do all the asset allocations.
Right. They can rebalance, they can diversify.
We try to read in the lines and find out what's actually important. And if I had known how important psychology classes would have been, I would have taken a lot more of those in college than I did. But I think that's really where we try to sit. And so if someone's, you know, talking to us, we try to be aware of, okay, what are they actually saying? What, and even if it's getting down to, like, why is money important to you, you know, type thing. And it could be different between a husband and a wife. And then we're like, okay, we need to step back because they want growth and you want safety. Let's figure that conversation out first before we just plug you into a 60-40, 70-30, you know, split. So those are the things that we really try to do, is be very personal. We try to be involved everywhere that we can. We do people's taxes. We've got legal on staff that we can help people out there. So if we can see that big picture, a lot of times we can avoid the mistakes that you know, are laying out there.
Man, you have made so many, several good points in there. I like the doctor analogy. I feel the same way. I'll go into the doctor, and I'm fairly healthy for a 46-year-old, and I'll go through my little checklist of all the things, and I'm not on any medications, and everybody's so proud of me. And not to, you know, make myself look bad here, but, you know, I feel like they're judging me when they want to ask how many drinks I have during the week.
Exactly.
It's like, why do you need, you know, if I check that, well, I'll lie a little bit. One to two nights a week. But, dude, I got three kids at home. That's a lie. I've had that box of wine gets crushed pretty quickly. But you guys are able to sit down with your clients, not be in a judgmental phase. You're talking about needing to take those psychology classes. I have my financial advisor. He's got like 10 locations here in Middle Tennessee. He is going right now to get I forget what kind of degree it is, but it's like a psychology degree, a counseling degree, and even is doing a little counseling on the side strictly to become a better financial advisor, which I thought was crazy, but the more guys I talk to you, the more I see it makes total sense.
Well, you know, and so many times our job is just to keep people from stressing. And so, you know, we've had the market decline that we've had this year. Fortunately, we've been really good about educating our clients and dealing with them before it happens. But still, until you experience one, you just don't know how you're going to react. So it's having those hard conversations, but in a way that everybody feels good on the back end. And we try to keep things as simple as possible, as jargon-free as possible, and trying to just make it easy for people to feel comfortable about their money. Because if you don't feel comfortable about it, you know, your stress goes through the roof. Then, you know, those visits to the doctor, all your numbers are off and everything else. So, yeah, it's awful. And having the experiences of, you know, watching what Dad went through, we've been through a lot of estates. We do estate work for people. Sure. So knowing that the financial answers within those don't always line up with the personal decisions. And people sometimes just need to be told that it's okay to make a bad financial decision if it's the right decision for your family.
That's one thing that's a brilliant point, because so many people feel like, especially when they're getting financial advice, it has to go down the line. You have to do this. This is going to be the higher interest rate or the safer bet or whatever it is. But that might not always fit for what your plans are. The point you made a minute ago was great, is that you've got to bring, especially if it's, you know, family, you got to bring everybody in and get on the same page of what, let's say, both the husband and the wife want. I've told them many times, I have been married 20 years. I feel like I've got a pretty good marriage. I've been a business coach for 15 years. Then I realize I'm a bad marriage coach. And I can tell when I've got a couple that will walk into my office that own a business together, and they are in two totally different directions, and they don't understand the financial numbers, where they're going, who's doing what. And, after a couple of hours of tears, you realize very quickly they don't need business coaching. They need marriage counseling.
Marriage counseling. Absolutely. We see that a lot. And, until you've gone through that enough with people, just knowing that you don't know sometimes is the biggest thing. Because I find that so many times people get locked into what worked for them. And the example I give a lot of people on that is, until you're a parent, you don't know how to parent a kid.
Right.
And then until that second, and in our case, we had twins second. So we've got the three boys. No one tells you, okay, you can't parent your first child the same way you parent your second child, parent your third child. And you think you've got it all figured out, but you don't. And so being open to the fact that there's multiple ways to get there, there's multiple ways to find the right solution, but you got to agree on something first.
Right.
Whatever that highest level you can get to, let's work from there. And then we'll figure out all the details after that. But I think that's, as an advisor, so many times that I see people go and, like, you're getting this. That's the product they sell. They do it.
Yeah.
They market it. They redo it over and over and over again. And it's successful. But it doesn't get that family to where they need it to be. Maybe it gets them more money.
Sure.
But that may not be what they actually needed.
So taking a look at you guys, you have real one-on-one service. You're there, you made available for them, you talk to them, you get their whole picture in view, you do legal, you do taxes, you do estate planning. So what do you guys do? Let's get tactical for a minute. What do you do for marketing, and how do you bring in the current clients you have now? And I know a lot of people will say word of mouth and referrals, which I get, but what else are you guys doing that helps you stand out or to bring in any kind of steady flow of folks to know who you are?
So I've been really blessed in that because I followed Dad, and Dad had the reputation that he did, and he was kind of that entire region's guru. He was on every financial board. He chaired every investment committee. And so they did. They just walked in the door
right
for a long time. When Dad passed, we realized, and Dad passed October of 2019. So we had all these grand plans for 2020 of, hey, we're going to bring people in. We're gonna do these events. We're going to do everything that we can to really reintroduce ourselves. And then the world happened.
Sure.
We couldn't do that. And we made a very conscious decision that we were going to go to people where they were as much as possible. So whether that's increased emails, calls. And then as we brought on Josh and doing marketing and rebranding ourselves from Aldebaran Financial to AFI, we just want to make things easy. And so we've done a podcast, figuring that if people are listening to them, we'll be out there. So we have the Bullseye podcast. We have our website. We've gone on local TV stuff. We've just been doing all of those things to get our name out there. And the people who know us, because we've been doing this for so long, Dad started in 91, they really do talk about us in a positive light, which I'm so grateful for.
Sure.
We're so appreciative of the loyalty of our clients. And, we didn't know what our business was going to look like in 2020. And we could have lost everybody, but we were really fortunate that people stayed and have sung our praises. And we've been just thrilled to death that that's been the case.
Talk a little bit about the podcast. That's one thing I missed during the intro, but I know that a lot of advisors have asked about it. And what I see as a common question or even a concern is that I'll see several that'll get started in about episode 7 or 8, and the average podcaster will make it all of 8, and then they'll bail because they don't immediately see tons of returns, which is ironic since an advisor has to coach their clients that, hey, we have to do this for a while. Yeah, we there's this thing called compound interest. So tell us a little bit about the podcast and what you guys are doing with it.
So it runs anywhere 20 to 30 minutes. Josh and I, we made a decision that we wanted to show our personalities. So the first 10 minutes are mostly us just gabbing, you know, and catching up. And, you know, if we're talking about movies or whatever's going on, or 4th of July statistics or whatever it is. And then the second half, we encourage people to send us questions, and we answer very specific questions. If a client emails in and says, hey, I'm looking at using my 529 plan for secondary education, but now with the markets dropped, should I hold off and pay elsewhere? So we'll answer a specific question, but try to make it as broad as possible. And then what we're doing is we're trying, you know, we put those out, and then once we get enough, and we're just past the hump of what you're talking about. We're about 10. But we did the podcast right on the back of being on TV for a weekly segment for about 3 months. And so every week for the first quarter, we were on for about 5 minute segment local TV, and kept that consistency. So we've been doing it about a half year now. And, you know, we've probably gotten about 2-3 people who specifically referenced, hey, I heard that, or I saw you on TV, and have made appointments. But my thought process is it's all just extra information, because there's so many people out there who don't want to raise their hand in class,
right?
But they want the information.
That's right.
So I find it fun, which makes it easier. So we just keep going. It's a good break in the day.
It is, and I think you'll see a long-term effect from it, and it won't be an overnight success, but that's just like building a portfolio. You continue to do it, and I've heard several say it can take 6, 9, 12 months, but there's a tipping point to where you'll really see the benefit of having done all of that. You just have to be patient and continue to do it, knowing it's the right thing to do.
Right.
So let's.
And it builds a library that we can clip, like a minute segment,
and
throw that out, whether it's, you know, on one of the social media platforms that favors short form. We can do that. We can throw it on YouTube, LinkedIn, whatever.
Well, even in your email marketing, which is, I'm always a big fan of using video in email marketing, that gives you endless content. And I have advisors all the time say, well, I just feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over and over. I say, look, man, you know, especially we're here in the Bible Belt, you go to church every Sunday, that preacher's not saying something unique or different every Sunday. And that's a really simple concept. You got like two rules there, but they have to present it in a multitude of different ways to keep you on track.
A lot of different, and not everybody, it's dry content a lot of times, right? What we do isn't exciting. But I always kind of look at it as, well, if they've heard me say it before, they can skip past it. But it might hit that person who's never listened to it. So if I say it again, oh, well. You know, if I say it enough, you know, Gary B., who does all the online marketing and stuff, like, he says the same 5-6 things
over and over,
hundreds of times a month.
Well,
it seems to work for him.
You have to hear it. I mean, we get 5,000 marketing messages on a daily basis, and you have to hear the same person say the same thing about 12 to 15 times. That's I've read that many times over for them to even understand what it is. So don't ever feel like you're just simply repeating yourself. To switch gears, getting toward the end here, talking about repeating yourself, you got 3 boys, so you probably have to repeat yourself every day, all the time, about it's time to shower, it's time to brush your teeth.
Pick it up, yeah.
Dude, so what all, you were talking about coaching, what all do they play and what all do you coach?
So I played baseball in college, and all 3 of them are baseball guys, and, you know, so they do that. But I've always told my boys, you know, I've coached soccer, I've coached basketball, I've coached baseball. Anything that these guys want to do, I'm going to be involved in. Because to me, family is such a priority. And so if I've got to cut out of the office at 4:30 to get to a 6 o'clock baseball game, I'm going to do it.
Right.
And I want to work with people who are okay with that. And so I just love being out there. We were out there last night until 7:30, 8 o'clock, and then the rains poured down on us. But that's where I have fun. That's where I get rid of all my stress, is coaching, and I love it. And if I wasn't doing what I'm doing, I would be some sort of school level teacher, and so that I could coach things.
Well, you're an educator of sorts now.
I like telling stories, and I like telling things to kids in different ways. And, you know, I've probably coached, we figured it out at some point because of all the different teams, 400, 500 kids over, you know, the last 13
years. That's a big impact.
hopefully those kids take one of their stories and they tell their kids that, and they're like, I don't know where I learned this phrase, but, you know, that's what I've always been taught. Sure. And then you go from there.
Well, good deal, Peter. I don't want to belabor anymore. You've been very generous with your time. Ending on telling stories is one of my favorite things, so we'll keep it right there. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, how do they find you?
So they can email us at connect@afiadvisors.com. You can find us on the website. We're on all the different social media things. We go by first names, so, you know, Mr. Raber is my father. So just sure. peter@afiadvisors.com comes straight to me, and we'd love to talk to anybody who's interested in it.
All right, friend, I appreciate your time today. I'll see you at the barbershop, and you have a good day, man.
You too. Thank you so much.
All right.